Okay, we'll start over here. Good morning. Good. I can hear you now. As most of you know, my name is Steve Chavez, and my wife, Carol, and I have been taking teams to Mexico to help the needy and the homeless. Today just happens to be that Sunday, Mission Sunday, the one we call Mission Sunday, the third Sunday of every month, when we take up an offering to help the needy and the homeless in Mexico. But we're not going to do that just yet. For the last 3 to 4 years, we've been using the February Mission Sunday to report back to you all for the things that you've been able to do in Mexico as a result of God's faithful hand and your faithful giving. Proverbs 19:17 says, "One who is gracious to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay them for their good deeds." You all have been gracious to the poor last year. It's a very good work that we've been able to do. You've done so much for the work in Mexico, not just with your faithful giving, but also for the many ways that we've been able to touch people's lives. And that's what we hope that you see today, is how people's lives are changing, and we're making an impact on their lives. The work in Mexico has been in two areas. We've been building houses and supporting an orphanage. And a quick summary of both of those real quick. The houses, we've been going to Reynosa for 6 years. We've built 18 houses, and we have come to know some of these people in a pretty close way. We've seen their struggles, and we've seen the daily things that they go through on a daily basis. We've seen houses built, and we've seen houses destroyed. We've seen babies born, and we've seen people pass away. We've seen marriages, and we've seen breakups. We've seen people get really sick, and we've seen people get saved. Relationships have been restored, and many people have been prayed for. Today, we will look back at House 17 and House 18 that got built in 2019. A little bit about the orphanage. The orphanage is in Camargo, Mexico, run by Pastor Luna and his wife, and a young lady named Deanna, which we'll be talking about her here. We've been going for the last 4 years. When we first went to the orphanage, Pastor Luna shares that he looks back and looks at it like if they were on life support, on a breathing oxygen tank, and that their tank was running out, and they had no support and no way to refill it. Well, he says that when Calvary Chapel of Fort Worth began to support that work, that it was like their tank had just been refilled, and they were able to breathe again. A lot of groups quit going to the orphanage and supporting them, so the place is pretty run down and it's still in need. We've been able to do a lot of things, but it's still in a lot of need of a lot of repair. We've been able to see these kids grow from children to teenagers, and we've grown to know them in a special way. Personal. We've also seen them grow spiritually. First thing we'd like to do is show just a little video on the houses that we've built.
In December of 2013 came the opportunity to start building houses, teaming with a local guy down there who had a ministry, Roy Busby and his family, and we built houses in the Colonia outside of the main city there. And it's literally a couple of miles across the border, and you wouldn't believe how stark a difference it is. The poverty, the no running water, cardboard as part of the structure of the house. It's not a secure, healthy, sanitary place. And due to the funds that were provided by the congregation here at Calvary Chapel of Fort Worth, it enabled us to go down and build, have a foundation built. As we build this house, it's a coming together of various members from the church, who come down and volunteer their time, and each one has different skills. The skills that we bring may be a trade that we practice here at our jobs here in the States. So we have some that are electricians, carpenters, and then there's people that have attention to detail. In my case, I'm attention to detail, so I'm the guy who does cutting of all the wood to the precise angles and lengths that are requested by the people who are actually putting up the structure and nailing it together and all. But we've also had the opportunity to serve in different roles. And so, as it says in Romans 12, how we are all given various gifts by God. But the key is that we are to use those gifts. They should not sit dormant. They should not be just something that is given. It should be exercised and practiced. So anyone can go down there. And some of those who may come and feel like they don't have a specific trade or specific ability to build a house, there's so much more that can be done. Painting, everyone can paint, maybe not as precisely or detailed, but just putting some paint on some wood. And also we have team members who are ministering to the families there, the families that we're building for. That's been also another beautiful thing to observe. While my Spanish is not very good, I still am able to speak the language of love with the kids and with the family that's there. And I know a little bit of Spanish. And the key for it is just having that attitude of service and willingness to serve in whatever capacity is needed on the team.
One thing really stands out to me most of all is the people who are so grateful, genuinely grateful. You go there to bless them, and they're like, they'll come to you, and they have nothing, but they will give you the food they have. They'll make beans and rice to feed you at lunchtime, and it always staggered me, because in their poverty, they give of their lack. And I look at us, we give out of our abundance. And it just really kind of, it shakes you sometimes when you see someone who has nothing that gives you everything they have as part of gratitude. And just to see the transformation in their lives, to go out of the dirt into a home that's sheltered from the rain and that's dry. They always know. See their faces when they walk, they open that door and they walk in. And not only is it a structure that's made, but then it's furnished. It's a home. It's overwhelming. And that never gets old. That is something that that's the most amazing, one of the most amazing things. Just you can see. You know, I always say it's not fair. We go down, honestly. Everybody, the whole team has an absolute heart to bless everyone we go down to see. But it's really wild how God blesses you back. And blessing to come back, it's almost like not fair, right? Because, I mean, it's really cool to see a team go down. And it is a unified heart. Blessing the light to that community. And how the Lord blesses you back is just amazing.
So last year we were able to build two houses, house 17 and house 18, for two needy families. So first house, we were able to go in March and build a house for Raul and Nancy and their two young children. They were living pretty much in a tin shed where you would store your lawnmower or your garden tools. Just a small little shack. No windows, no plumbing, no nothing. So we were able to go in there and build them a nicer place, a place where they could raise their two young kids. They were extremely thankful for that house that they were getting. Just to show how what you are doing is touching lives and changing lives. But a quick story about Raul and Nancy. We went back in October to build house 18. This is house 17. And what we really like to do is go back and visit the families of the houses that we've built in the past. And we went back to visit Nancy and Raul. Well, we went up there and we knocked on the door and no answer. Not home, we'll try again one more time, knocked on the door again, and she finally came to the door, but she was just waking up. You could tell she had just gotten up, and she was sleepy-eyed, and we were like, we woke her up. Anyway, come to find out, she had just come home from her first round of chemo. She had breast cancer. So we felt so bad that we had woken her up, but we were very thankful that we were there so we could pray for her healing, and pray for her comfort in the days ahead that she was going to have to go through all this chemo. So we're really looking forward to going back and seeing how she's doing. The next house. This house was the last house that we built, and we went in there and found out that they were living in a flood zone. You can see that it hadn't rained for a while, but there's water still right there. And when it does rain, the water goes up and would seep into their house. They have been living there for 14 years. Every time it rained, sopping floors. So we were able to go in and build a house on a higher level where they don't have to worry about floods, rain, anything like that anymore. We're just very thankful for all that you guys have provided to be able to do this for these families. After every build, we always gather the family and we dedicate the house to the Lord. We really try to show them that this house is not from us, not from you guys, it's not from the team, it's from God. God provides this house, and He's the one that has blessed them with it. And during that dedication time, we always try to share the gospel with them, and they're just very appreciative. Some of them we have to carry in because they're crying so much. But anyway, they're very appreciative for what they get. We're very thankful for all the things that you've donated towards the furnishing of these houses. It makes a big difference as they try to turn these houses into homes for their families. You saw in the video. Next, we would like to share a little bit about the orphanage. We made 5 trips to the orphanage last year. And again, the orphanage is in Camargo, Mexico, run by Pastor Luna and his wife. Today, there's 18 kids. There was 14. In the last year, they've gained 5 new kids. There's never a dull moment. So much gets done by the teams when we go visit. The team has worked very hard in the last 4 years. So we'd like to show another little video about the orphanage.
So what's the day of a typical mission trip at the Casa Hogar? Well, we always get up early, get some coffee, get some breakfast, drive to the Pastor Luna's place, and then we cross the border. Once we get there, there's a meet and greet there's always a project or projects that are prepared or ready for us to work. Sometimes we're working on a garden, or we're putting up a chicken coop, or we're repairing a room here, we're putting up windows, or fixing doors. There's all kinds. There's never a lack of projects at Casa Fogar. It's a big facility. So part of it is working on projects. People with different skills take and work in their different areas. But there's also times for activities. We're playing games. We could do lessons with drawing or pictures or the word. We always bring the word of God. So there's worship, there's praise, there's teaching, and there's prayer. And then there's always the fun stuff, the water balloon fights or whatever. But just building relationships is really the best part in this whole mission trip to Casa Fogar. You know, you look at each one of these kids, we don't know what horrors or stories that they've had in their lives. We don't know what kind of hurt they've got. But we know that Jesus Christ is one who heals the broken heart and sets the captives free. And that's our prayer for each one of these, that that hope that we have for them can be a reality, and that they can go forward with hope and joy that God loves them, and that they can succeed in the days that are ahead for them.
Our mission as a team and our purpose is to go and share God's love and to be examples of God's love. And God puts together the perfect team every trip to do just that. But now I've noticed that it's not just us. It's these children that are, the love of Jesus is shining through them. And now they're being examples of God's love to us. And it's so beautiful. They're just so loving to everyone. Even if you've never been on the trip before, they welcome you with open arms like family. Because we are family. And I think a big part of that is because they trust us. They know that we're coming back. Most of these kids, they need that. They need that comfort and that constant support and that that knowing that we will return, because most of these kids, all these kids, have been abandoned at some point of their life by people who are supposed to love them the most. But they've now received a love that is so much greater and that will never abandon them. And you can see that in their walk now. They've grown so much more spiritually. And this last trip, it was truly beautiful to really witness that. Towards the end of the trip, they had put together these worship songs for us, and they wanted to perform for us. And at the beginning, you could tell that it was a performance. They were performing. But then somewhere in the middle of this worshiping, they turned their focus on Jesus, and they were completely just worshiping him. And even though I don't know the language, and I couldn't understand every word of the songs that they were singing, it was just beautiful to see, because even if you don't know what they're singing, you could tell their meaning, what they were singing, and that they were really, truly worshiping the Father. And it was just so beautiful. One of my favorite parts during this last mission trip is seeing how much of a servant's heart each one of them has. They're just so willing to get in there and serve with us and help in anywhere that they can. And it's just so wonderful to see how much they've grown up from these timid and shy kids when we first went to this orphanage to now these kids that just want to serve with us and love on us and be there with us every minute that they can. And it's beautiful because we want to be with them every minute that we can while we're there. And I think I can speak for everybody that's been on these missionary trips that every single time we leave and it's that last day, we don't want to go. Those kids steal our hearts every single trip, and it's just beautiful to see them waving us goodbye and how much they don't want us to leave. One picture that just always sticks into my head in this last missionary trip, these kids, they have this gate that surrounds the orphanage, and they were out there waving goodbye as we're loading into the vans, and their hands were sticking through the gate, and they just kept waving until we were completely out of sight. And it was really just this beautiful and bittersweet moment that, you know, you can see how much they love us and how much they appreciate us coming. But then this, and it's sad to leave, but then you know that you're going to come back, and they know that you're going to come back. And the next trip is going to be just as special and just as beautiful. And it's just so amazing to see how the Lord's hand is in every aspect. trip is, and it's beautiful.
Didn't they do a good job on those videos? That was very good. Thank you very much, Abby Statman, for all the time she spent on putting those together. Very good. So just a little list of things that the teams have been able to do. We've been able to replace ceiling fans, ceiling lights, doors, kitchen cabinets. We've taken them tables and planted fruit trees, did a lot of digging and fixing leaks. Water leak. We've been able to remodel some living areas and some other things that you provided through your faithful giving. As we've been able to provide school uniforms for some of the new kids that have gotten there. We've been able to needed some plumbing services from a real plumber, not just a shovel. One of the boys had to have surgery to remove a growth in his neck, which could still be growing to this day without your support. We've also received many donations from everyone, like clothing, shoes, blankets, toiletries, backpacks, canned food, sewing machines, material, pillows, and all these things have been great and have made their lives just a little bit easier and a little bit more enjoyable. But what we would like for you to see, though, is how you those things have continued to change their lives. In the last past year. We look back and see how many things that we've provided, but what we want you to see is how you have made an impact in the lives of these kids that live there. As you saw in the video, the team has always taken Bibles, had a Bible lesson, and just shared time with these kids. We see in these pictures the kids and their smiles, but we want to put some names to these kids now. Kids that you support. So the first kid we would like to share is Brianna. Brianna, you saw in the video there, she's only been there a year. She got there in January of last year. When she first came to the orphanage, she was 3 years old. Black eyes, scraped up face, been abused by her parents, her mother, and very quiet, very shy little girl. You can see from this picture, she's not very shy anymore. She's now 4 years old, and she thinks she owns the orphanage. She's a spoiled little girl, full of life, and she is loved very much. She is the spoiled little sister. All the big sisters just take good care of her. She is a treasure. That is the next girl I'd like you to see, little girl, is this little girl's name. Oh, that's still Brianna. Yeah, she's spoiled. This is Stephanie. Stephanie's only been at the orphanage for a few weeks. She's 5, and she has a similar story to Brianna's story in that she was let go by her parents last January also. She was taken to her grandparents, and her grandparents were sure they were going to take care of her. But a few weeks ago, they went back to the Child Protective Service and said, we can't do this anymore. We need to give her back. So a really neat thing is she was brought back to the orphanage. And the reason that's such a neat thing is because she's Brianna's little big sister. Right now, it looks like Brianna's in control, but I think Stephanie's going to take over. That's just a really neat story to see how these kids have been reunited and are in a safe place where they're loved and cared for. This here is Camila and Fernanda. Camila is 9 years old. Fernanda is 7 years old. Last May, they came to the orphanage because their mother They were left at the orphanage and dropped off with just the clothes on their back, nothing else. The mother turned around and left, and the girls were trying to wave goodbye to her, and she never turned around, just kept on going. In September, the mother came back and decided, well, I want my kids back. Well, at this time, the kids had a choice. Camila decided to stay at the orphanage. Fernanda decided to go back with her mom. Fernanda, we've heard, is not with her mom anymore, but is with an aunt. And we are hoping that she'll be reunited with Camila back at the orphanage. This is Camila, the last time we were there. Full of life, happy, and really enjoying living there with the rest of her sisters and brothers at the orphanage. We're just hoping and praying that Fernanda will be able to come back and be reunited with her sister, Camila. Okay. This is San Juanita. She's 13 years old, and she attends the same school that the other girls go to from the orphanage, same public school. She always asked the girls, because she always saw the joy and laughter in the girls' lives, and she always said, can I go live with you guys? It's very abusive at home, and she just didn't want to be at home. There was many times she says that her parents would make her sleep outside on the ground there. She didn't have a bed. She didn't have any place to stay. She was always physically and verbally abused. Finally, the Child Protective Services went in and took her out, and knowing that she wanted to live at the orphanage, was able to take her there. And she is very excited to be at the orphanage now. She is all smiles. We've been praying that she would have a bigger smile. She has problems with her teeth, and she's made fun of, bullied at work at school. All the kids give her a real hard time, but there's in the works to get those teeth fixed and just make her smile that much bigger. The kids that from the orphanage always stand up for her, though, at school when she's bullied. She is the sister that all the other kids never had and that she never had. So she's in a very loving place. Is Maria. She's 13 years old, and Maria has only been there for a few months. She came from a very abusive family also. Maria would run away frequently from home. She was abused. It was not a good situation. Anyway, the Child Protective Services found her on the streets after 2 days that she had been without food or any place to stay or anything. And they found her and they took her in. They were able to take her to the orphanage, and she's been there for a few months and just full of life. We'll come back to that one in a minute. Because of the abuse in her family, though, back to Maria, she was turned over to Pastor Luna, and she is doing extremely well. She's happy to have a safe home, and we are very thankful to God that for those 2 days, God was with her, because who knows if child traffickers or cartels would have found her first where she would be. God is good. This little guy here, well, he is, I don't know who he is. Nobody knows his name. There's a story behind him. He's 18 months old, and he was brought to the orphanage just like 3 weeks ago. He was found alone on the street. Story goes that he was out with his mom and two other ladies and some guy. Some bad guys came. The guy took off running. They murdered the three ladies and abandoned the boy. The boy was found crying in the street by some neighbors. He was taken to the Child Protective Services, and they tried to find him a home, and nobody would take him because of his age. So they took him to Pastor Luna's orphanage, and he says, well, we're here to take care of kids. Bring him in. So they took him in. Since then, he's been cared for at the orphanage with Pastor Luna, but to keep him at the orphanage, he has to have care 24/7. This girl here, her name is Monse. And this other girl, her name is Reina. They were both brought to the orphanage when they were in diapers 15 years ago. They had to have 24/7 care also. The lady there on the left, her name is Marta. And she was the one that stepped up and took care of Monse and Reina when they were just babies. She took care of them so that they got potty trained and to where they didn't need that special care anymore. I have a feeling that she is very involved with this little boy. But talking to Pastor Luna last Tuesday, he says that this little boy now has three moms, one for every 8-hour shift. Who knows how many babies are abandoned like this? Thankfully, this one was found and placed in a loving home. We know about him, but we still don't know his name. Things don't always go as good as we would like them to go. This here is Yvonne. He's a 16-year-old boy that's been at the orphanage for 5 years. Yvonne is talented. Likes to sing, likes to play guitar, and he always stays in the background, and he's kind of quiet, but he's always figuring a way to make mischief. He always gets in trouble, not just at the orphanage, but at school also. When we were there in May, Carol and I spent a lot of time with him, and we thought he was coming along really good, but during the summer, he fell away again. He has two brothers that live there at the orphanage with him, and he was always gave him all the elbows he could dish out. And, he would break out at night and run around the orphanage there, and it just was not a good situation. So they had to get him to another facility where he could be better cared for. So I would like to just ask you all to pray for him in your daily prayers. He needs your prayers. We need to pray that his heart has changed and that he would be seeking God for his life. That girl there on the right, this is what we were talking about a little bit earlier. Her name is Deanna, and she has a story in herself. She was taken to the orphanage when she was 13 years old. She graduated from high school, went to Bible college for 4 years, Rio Grande Bible College. And she now lives at the orphanage 24/7. And she stays with the kids the whole time. She is paying it forward. She really just loves what Pastor Luna is doing for the kids and wanted to pay it back. Pastor Luna says what she really needs is a godly boyfriend. But she says, no, 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 no. That'll be only in God's time. This is another successful story that's come out of the orphanage. Her name is Anna. She's was taken to the orphanage about the same time, graduated, went to college, became a public teacher, and is teaching there in the public schools. But it's just amazing that every time we go, she's there. She's trying to figure out how she can help, how she can give the staff a break, and how she can mentor those kids. She's really paying it back. We found out on our last trip, nice little ring on her finger, she is now engaged and will be married soon. All those kids are truly wondrous works, just as Jesse was saying earlier. They are wondrous works of God. Okay. Those are all those special kids that we get to see every time we go. Now, there's one thing I was thinking, that if you don't like hugs, you should never think about going to one of these trips, because you'll be miserable the whole time. Those kids just love to hug you and hug you and hug you, as you saw in the video. So, if you like hugs, sign up. Okay, so now you know that without your help, these kids might have never had a safe place to live, or they may not have had loving care, or they may not even have heard that God loves them. The teams go down to work in Mexico, and they take the love of Christ to them that you guys are sending down. They may never have received it, because they show them the love by putting the love that you guys are giving and the things that you give to work. You are the ones that have put the oxygen back in that oxygen to help them, to help give them a renewed hope in life and a new vision for their futures. Okay, so we're coming to the end of our time. And I'm reminded of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:6. He said, "Crafty fellow that I am." Why did he say that? Well, the reason I'm saying it is because we haven't taken up the offering yet. But what we wanted to do was show you guys that the work that you're doing, the things that you give, the donations that you've given, have really made a difference in these kids' lives. Who knows where they would be if not for the generous support of all of you. As most of you know, Carol and I are planning to move to Rio Grande City later this year. We would like to see how we and the orphanage can be more involved in the community, how we could serve the people of the area where the orphanage is located. Teach the kids that it's not just receiving, although they've received quite a bit, but it's not just receiving, but it's also giving. Giving back to the community, giving back to the neighbors, the towns, the cities, all around them. I'm sure that we as a church can help these people in that area. In Acts 20:35, it says, "In everything I showed you, by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of Jesus, that he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" I pray that you've seen today what you have seen today has been a blessing to you because of all that you have given. Thank you.
God is good. Amen. I am so thankful for all that. I'm just thankful that God is using this church. Amen. Let's praise the Lord one more time for that. God is so wonderful. Guys, listen. You know what's wonderful about today, this day that we set aside for the work, the global work that God has called us to do there in Mexico? You know, it's always been an adventure. And it still continues to be an adventure. There's not one person that has been here long enough to know the work that we're doing in Mexico, how God has so blessed the mission team, but really how they have blessed Steve and Carol, our mission directors. Amen. God has equipped them. He's empowered them. Their leadership skills, I am so thankful for them. And now, as you just heard Steve say, they're going to be retiring. And, of course, we're going to send them to Rio Grande City. Amen. Yes, that's right. We're going to be helping them as well. And so we're not only going to have a greater investment in the orphanage at Camargo, but we're also, loved one, listen, we're going to have a new investment, like Steve said. We're going to, Camargo is only 14,000 people. Who knows what God is going to do as we, as Steve and Carol, and the kids starts reaching out to the city, maybe helping to build something, do this, paint something, where we're known more than just at the orphanage. Amen? Now think of what new doors that the Lord may be opening. I mean, we may plant another church in Mexico. We may, God may open up such doors to where a year from now I could be standing before you and saying, you know what, we're getting ready because of the work that Steve, Carol, the mission team, the children at the orphanage have done in the city of Camargo, that what we're going to do now, we're going to have our very first crusade in that city. Amen? Why not win the city too? It's only 14,000 people. So you just never know what God's going to do. He may move us deeper into the interior of Mexico. We're a blessed people, aren't we? We are. We're a blessed church. You know, the poverty, we have poverty, of course, in our nation. But the poverty in Mexico, when the average worker makes $5 a day, loved one, it's hard. Listen, I am so thankful for all that we've been doing over the years. I mean, from LNFI, man, we've been from Meru, Kenya, 450 orphans, feeding them every day, helping people, the orphans in North Korea, all the way into Mexico, all the things that we've done over all these years, not to mention being in the public schools. Have you noticed that everything that LNFI, that we do through them, is only for children, isn't it? That's what it's all about. It's about helping children, providing the love and the hope, medical care, you know, education, a warm bed, food for their stomach, amen, clothing, all the things that you do, and that's what gives them a future. Now listen, I'm getting ready to ask you to give. I know you know that, but I'm asking you to give, not to Calvary, but to the work that God has called us to. I'm asking you to support the global work that God has called us to. It is an investment, amen? It's more than an investment. In other words, when we give to do this work, which 100% goes to the work there, loved one, listen, we are laying up treasures in heaven. And that, loved one, is an investment that lasts. You know what a poor Christian is, or a poor church? One that doesn't give. One that doesn't really reach out and do anything for wherever God has placed them. We know the Bible teaches us in Corinthians, it says, you know, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. We know that the Lord, he loves a cheerful giver, a hilarious giver. I pray that when I take up this offering in just a minute, that you start laughing. Remember the rich young ruler that came to the Lord and knelt down, oh, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know, keep the commandments. And he listed them all off. And the rich young ruler said, well, oh, Lord, I've kept all those from, you know, my youth up. And of course, Jesus looked at him and loved him, you know, meaning he didn't. Amen. And what did Jesus tell him to do? Let me read it. And then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. Loved one, God cares about the poor. He cares about the poor children. You know, I don't know, I'm sure that the tithe records for this body, local body, you've already received them, I'm sure, I hope you have. Were you embarrassed when you looked them and opened them up? Or were you blessed in your giving? You know, we used to be able to, with a lesser group, or in other words, a smaller body of believers, send $10,000 a month for the work in Mexico. We're not doing that anymore. Man, we need you to give. I am the voice for the children. I am not the voice to beg for Calvary Chapel. I never have. But loved one, listen, we are so overwhelmingly blessed. I mean, everybody probably has an iPhone. I hear them go off during the service. You know, if we went out there and looked at the cars, you know, I imagine there'd be a few new ones. I don't see any raggedy clothes in here, although my socks do have holes. We have more abundance than we can imagine. I received a letter that goes perfectly with what I'm asking you to do this morning from a radio listener, dear man, out in Terrell, Texas. He wrote me, and I received it last week. Let me read it to you. He says, "Dear Pastor Bill," he said, I have been thinking a lot lately about how much the Lord has blessed me in material things. Now, most people, myself included, well, we have plenty of choices about what we'll have for dinner, and then we sit down and to eat, rarely ever thinking about the fact that so many people have no idea where they're going to eat. He says, "I hear mothers crying themselves to sleep at night because they have no means to feed their children or take care of them." And there are so many other scenarios that could be added to this list. "I haven't been very faithful with my finances in a while, but I don't want that to be the case anymore. I just cannot receive God's blessings and not pass them on. There's a scripture somewhere about how God gives us excess so we can take care of our needs, but also have enough to help others. Pastor Bill, please use this to help people who need food, who need clothing, who need medicine, or whatever. I want to make sure someone else has a meal to sit down to, and hopefully there will be a few less tears shed tonight." What a true word. Paul sent $2,200 in this letter from last week. Then I received a call this week, early in the week, about the children in one of our middle schools. Said, "Bill, please, can you help? We have 26 children that are going to go home on the weekends, and they will not eat again until they come back to school on Monday. Paul, you just fed 26 kids for the next 3 weeks." Then when they received that money, they emailed me back and said, "Hey, Bill, we have 14 Fridays left until school is out. Can you help with those 26 kids for the next 14 weekends? You want me to say no?" I can't say no. You say, "Well, Bill, this is locally." Yes, it is. But what do you think the kids go through there in Mexico? Listen, you are doing a great, great work. The foundational scripture of Love Never Fails International, which our mission team goes through and your funds go through. Loved one, listen. What did God say in Proverbs 19:17? The scripture that started the whole charity. "He who hath pity upon the poor." Pity, not the emotion of pity. It means more than that. It means to do something about it. It's not a handout. It's a hand up in life. "He who has pity upon the poor lendeth unto God." Imagine, a loan to God. And God says, "And I will pay back what has been given." Did you know that giving, lending unto God and helping those that are poor is an investment? Now, listen, I don't know, you know, God says, "I'm going to give you back what you've given." I don't know what that means, and don't define it. Amen? May I tell you that whatever it does mean, God's definition is greater than your definition. Amen? That's right. Amen. So here's the deal. I'm asking you, I need you to really give today. As a matter of fact, every time we have a Love Never Fails Sunday for the orphanage, I need you to do that. I'm begging you to do that. Not for me, but for children. Listen, those mothers that was with that little 18-month-old boy, Steve didn't tell you what the cartel or whoever it was did to them. It's not pretty. They're butchers, loved one. Do you hear me? That kid was rescued. God rescued him because of you. Do you understand? Because they put him where we are, the place that we're supporting, the place that you guys are building. Oh, man, listen. What is greater than that? Amen? No, it's no different than years ago when I'm on time. When we were there at Casa Hogar in Reynosa, remember that little 12-year-old girl that came and beating? Remember the big steel doors that we would drive the vans through to protection so they'd open them when we got there, and then we'd close them when we pulled the van in because of the cartel? And that little girl comes to the door, and she's beating on that door, and she'd been cut up. Sister Elma took her in. Listen. We're doing a great work because that's where God has called us to. And you could not ask for two better mission directors than Steve and Carol Chavez. God's word teaches us, it says, as the offering now is getting ready to be taken, guys, it says in Proverbs 28:27, this is God's word, not Bill's word. He who gives to the poor will not lack. Think about that. But he who hides his eyes will have many curses. Proverbs 21:13. Whoever shuts his eyes to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. Gentlemen, come. Please, rush. They're ready. Oh, oh. Do you see that agility? Yeah. Huh. Here, don't forget mine. Somebody told me in the first service, because I was kind of slow coming up the steps, and said, we're going to have to get you a ramp, Bill. Yeah. You tell him what you just saw. Yeah, the old ninja Bill got it. Woo, I felt good. I learned it from El Chavez. The Lord bless you as you give. Now, I'm going to keep talking, because we're getting ready to do something very special as well. We talked here about our global work today, but we also have a local work, amen? Not just Haltom Christian School, but, loved one, listen, the work that God's called us to this year. You know, Jesus told us that, for us to be empowered, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, so we could be his witnesses and go out to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. Today, we're going to do something. At the end of this service, we're going to pray over the people of the tent ministry. Amen? In other words, the ambassadors for Christ who are now going out into the field, into the Lord's harvest, and they're going to only be equipped with a tent called free. Amen? The Bible tells us in Psalm 118:15, oh, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. And the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. Yes, we're going to be rejoicing for the many people that we're going to be praying for, not only in this city, but all over with all the tent ministry, the things that God has called us to do. 2019, what did God do? Thousands of people came. Beloved, listen, he brought his harvest right here for the Candy Cane Lane Christmas, didn't he? Oh, what God did. We didn't have to work. All we had to do was prepare. And now God's whirlwind is not over. Loved one, listen, now we are sending this people, this body, the tent ministry people, out into the Lord's harvest outside. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to set up those tents called free, and guess what? All you got to do is be there. Free, what's free? Well, come on over. See, the Lord is going to bring the harvest again. You that are the tent ministry, listen to me now. You be prepared for the supernatural hereness and nowness of God. You be prepared for God to use you. He is going to use you, and people are going to be saved. One more scripture, the word that God gave us for 2020 in Isaiah 54:2. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. In other words, trust God. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right. You shall expand to the left. We are pitching our tents. A new adventure begins locally, but listen, but a new adventure this year begins globally in Mexico. I am so excited for all that God is doing. If you are in the tent ministry, would you please stand? Those that are in the tent ministry that have, yes, oh, come on down here. Why don't you just come down here? I don't want you to, I want to see your faces. Come close to me. Yes, please, hurry, quickly. Is the offering finished? We might take up another one. Hurry. Quickly now. These people want to go to Luby's. They're her. Okay. Dan and Stacy, they head up our outreach here, our local outreach. They are the incredible servants. Quickly, guys. That's okay. We can do the run if we want to. We'd be Pentecostals, wouldn't we? Running in church. Praise the Lord. I'm not condemning that. Dan and Stacy, you all know them very well. Faithful servants. They've been here forever. And they're going to be heading all of this up. All of the tents, are they ready, Dan? They are ready. We've got them stored. Is that right? You should see them. They're custom done. They're all red and have that big word free upon them. So here's what we're going to do. I am thankful for all of you. I am thankful for you because you are the ambassadors for Christ. You've been given the ministry of reconciliation. You're going out into God's harvest. He's going to... Don't you dare be afraid. Don't you worry about one thing. Amen. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be an adventure. So, church, stretch out your hand to these people as we pray now over them to send them into the Lord's harvest. Father, we praise you. We thank you as this day, now the tent ministry begins. Now that tent called free, going to all parts, north, south, east, and west, not only in Haltom, Lord, Fort Worth, and beyond, wherever you want to send us. Lord, I thank you for these people, because you have called them, you have equipped them, you have anointed them, and now you are sending them, Lord. Use them for your glory. May Jesus Christ be glorified in all that they do. Thank you, Lord. And Father, as we send them out into your harvest, we give thanks again for all the things that you're going to do in Mexico this year and all the things you're going to do in this city. So, Lord, bless them now. Fill them with your Spirit over and over. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all the church says, amen. Let's thank the Lord.